house this morning. Amen. My. You could be laying in the hospital today. Amen. A few of us should be in jail this morning. Didn't get a whole lot of amens about that. Well, that's right. I was talking to Pastor Karen on the way. I said, you know, if Satan would have had his way, instead of standing here in this pulpit today, if I would have just made the choice to go right instead of left, I'd be in jail today. Amen. If I would have received justice, I was already guilty. But mercy heard my cry. Are you hearing me? There was that young man standing at the corner of Cole and Jefferson without hope, without anything. Amen? Ravaged by sin, ravaged by hate, ravaged by anger. A monster lived on the inside of me that would not die. I could do nothing to kill it. No matter how much I hated it, no matter how much I despised my life, I couldn't do anything to change me. But in that little corner church at the corner of Cole and Jefferson Street in Tiffin, Ohio, at about 7 o'clock on a Sunday evening, in the end of summer, just a few weeks before school started, mercy cried out to me. Are you hearing me? And mercy said, hey, you're not too big. You're not too deep. You're not too dark into sin. You're not too far gone. I have enough to pull you from the pit of hell and redeem your life. Are you hearing me today? Mercy heard my cry. See, sometimes the cry that comes from us, see, I'm glad that God understands our language. See, God understands. God doesn't just take and say to us, look, here's the exact words you have to say this exact way at this exact time. Sometimes it's just as simple. Listen to me. It's just as simple as saying, I can't go it no more. I can't do it no more. Amen? You may even still be in the middle of your life, in your depression, in your darkness. And sometimes in the middle of that, in the depth of it, in the depth of our pain, we don't even realize that Jesus is standing right there. Amen? See, we were the ones that were lost, not Him. I didn't find Him. He found me. I said, I didn't find Him. Because you see, my directional, my life had no ability to find God. I couldn't have. There was no ability in me. See? Sin, darkness filled my life. I had no ability to be able to find God. In fact, I didn't even know what I was looking for. Are you hearing me? That's why I tried to find all those answers in drugs and alcohol and illicit sex and violence. Violence beyond any of your imaginations. In a world filled with hate and violence. But mercy said that day, you're mine. That day Jesus came by. See, blind Bartimaeus, man, was blind. Are you hearing me? That morning when he woke up to go and do the same thing, the same way as he did all of his life, sitting on that dirt road, begging to survive. He didn't know that day was not going to be like any other day he had ever lived. See, we wake up and we think there is no hope. We wake up and we think, man, there's no way. How can any of this be resolved? How can I come out of this life? How can I escape from any of this? And then all of a sudden, we hear, who's that? Well, that's Jesus. That's the Messiah. Remember, we were talking, he's the man who can heal the sick and raise the dead. Are you hearing me? And there was multiple people there, but Bartimaeus was the one who cried out the loudest. Are you hearing me? Oh, thou son of David! Don't pass me by today! See, he had arrived at a point in his life to where he was finally fed up. Oh, you're not hearing me. I said, he was fed up. He had to try to feed himself. But see, he was full up. That's why that God is allowing some of you to walk out your life, to walk out your rebellion, to walk out your life the way. See, you think you're so slick. Amen? You think you're so silly. That's what used to drive my children nuts. Well, see, the thing of it is I've already been where you've been. I've already done what you've done. I told those lies a lot better than what you told them. I played the game better than you played. I played the game better than you played. You aren't fooling nobody. You ain't fooling nobody. Amen. You blind. And everybody can see it. Are you hearing me? But there was a lot of other blind folks there. And when you're hanging with everybody else who's blind, amen, you kind of get a blind mutual admiration society going. Amen. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody understands little old me. But until you get fed up. See, God is patient enough, and this is going along with what I'm going to preach to you today. See, you're in a season. Some of you are in a season. See, some of you aren't fed up yet. See, you're still eating on that dead flesh. You're still eating on that circumstance that gives nothing back to you. You're still eating on yourself, on your selfishness. I understand. I've been there. We only can do what we can do because that's all we know to do. How many times do we ask the question about people? I don't understand why they're doing that. That doesn't make sense. It's because it's not your sin. But when you were doing your thing, people were saying the same thing about you. I don't understand why they act in that way. That's crazy to me. I don't understand. What's their thinking? Because that wasn't their sin. That wasn't their darkness. That wasn't where they were at. But I want you to know something. You have a high priest in Jesus Christ who has been touched with every point of infirmity in your life. He came here and he learned and he lived and he experienced every emotion, every feeling of darkness on the cross of Jesus Christ. I want you to know it was there that Jesus felt every pain, every suffering, look, he carried it all on the cross. He knows where you're at this morning. And he is waiting patiently. Amen? For you to get fed up. Amen? How many hears me this morning? All right, look with me to 1 Kings. Hallelujah. In 1 Kings chapter 17, then I'm going to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. See, the grace of God, man. Look, guys, the grace of God. See, I may not have grace for you. My grace may even run out. Amen? How many parents here today, you said to your kids, now listen just for a second. You said to your kids, I'm just about done with them. Come on, raise your hand. I know some of you are sitting with your kid, but it's okay. Blame it on pastor. Come on, raise your hand. How many's ever said that about your kids? Oh, I would never say that. I adore my kids. I would never say that, pastor. My perfect babies. I would never. Sure you do. We all get fed up with their inconsistency, their laziness, their disobedience, their rebellion. We were there. We did it. But do you notice something is this? We may say that with our mouth, but we never... See, you're not saying, I don't love you. That's not what you're saying. See, you're not saying, I don't love you, I don't care about you. That's not what you're saying. What you're saying is, I don't understand. I don't know how to correct this. I don't know how to deal with this anymore. That's what you're saying. I don't have an answer for this. That's because what you need to understand, that God needs to give you an ability. That's one of the things that we are talking about this morning, is faith for the season. Not only do we need to have faith for our season, but we need to relearn to relate to other people in their season. Turn to somebody and say, you need faith for the season that you're in. Because God will feed you what you need for the season that you're in. See, God will supply what you need. That's why He said, I will supply all of your need according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. See, God knows the season that you're in, and God won't supply above the season that you're in. See, God will not supply above the season that you're in. God doesn't supply you for the season to come. God supplies you for the season that you're in because God's trying to teach you something in the season that you're in. And until you learn that, until you find the purpose in where you're at, look, and let me say this to you, is this. You can't speed up the process. You can't speed up the process of coming out of the season that you're in, but you can prolong the season you're in. You can't speed it up. God's timing and His chronos in your life is set in the heavenlies. You can't speed up. You cannot take and put it into a higher gear and say, God, I'm done. Get out of it. No. That's not the way it works. But you can prolong the season that you're in. Well, how do you know that, Pastor? Because here's a simple truth. The children of Israel standing at Kadesh Barnea as they came out of Egypt. 11-day trip from Egypt to Kadesh Barnea. And Kadesh Barnea was the place of decision. They sent the spies over, and for 40 days they spied out the land. And they brought back the fruits of the land. And every one from the heads of the tribes said, surely this land flows with milk and honey. It is exactly what God said it would be. But there is giants in the land. There's obstacles that are too big for us. In fact, the people there are giants, and we are like grasshoppers. When they looked at us, we became afraid, and we became grasshoppers in our own sight. Are you listening today? Are you listening today? And we became grasshoppers in our own sight. And at that place of Kadesh Barnea, they decided, we can't possess. We want to go back. Come on. We want to go back. I want you to understand that when you are at that place where God wants to take you into a new place, into a new challenge, He wants to bless your life, you will be faced with some obstacles in your life. And why? Because you're going into a new challenge. You're going into a place that God wants to grow you. He wants to change you. But to do that, turn to somebody and say, one little key, you're going to have to trust God. Amen? You're going to have to trust God. Now let's look here in 1 Kings chapter 17. I'm going to be good today. One way or another. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitant of Gilead. This is his introduction. There's nothing else before 1 Kings 17. There's no Elijah graduated from the school of the prophets, you know, at such and such a date, and he comes with the references from this individual. God gives no trumpets. He gives no proclamation to Ahab at the time. He shows up. Are you hearing me? Ahab and Jezebel are going on with their ungodly life. It's like he walks through the door and says, hello, my name's Elijah. He doesn't even really introduce himself. He just opens his mouth, and the first thing he says, in fact, he is not, undoubtedly, by our standards, is not a great communicator, because he doesn't even say, please, may I say this to you. He begins by saying, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Thank you very much. He doesn't stand around waiting for a reply. He doesn't look for affirmation. He doesn't look to see into the eyes of Ahab and Jezebel if there is an agreement. No, he says what God says for him to say, and he turns around and he leaves. That's like somebody coming to your home, walking in uninvited into your life and says, there will be no rain. There's not going to be any blessing. Everything's going to stop and cease in your life. There'll be no blessing. You'll have no money, no food. Everything is going to dry up in your life. Thank you very much. I've got to leave now. Amen. There was no applause. Nobody fell down and was like, ooh, I'm afraid now. Amen? It's not what happens here. God speaks to Elijah in verse 3, and he says, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith. Cherith means cut or to cut. Go by the brook Cherith, and that is before Jordan, which means to descend or to go down. He said, I want you to hide thyself beside the brook there. And in verse 4, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Everybody say there. See, God is trying to get you there, but before he can get you there, he's got to deal with you here. See, God's trying to take you there. God's trying to take you to that place. He's trying to take you to that place, but you've got to be careful, because if you're not careful, what will happen is that you're so consumed with the here and the now that you can't see, but we're going to get to that in just a minute. Amen? Look what he says here in going on. He says there, verse 5, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, now here's the second time. I'm coming back in just a minute. Arise, get thee to Zarephath. Zarephath means the place of refinement, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell where? There. He couldn't get him to Zarephath until he had what? Finished with him in Cherith. Amen? I said, are you following me here? He couldn't get him to Zarephath. Come on, it'll get better here in just a minute. He couldn't get him to Zarephath until he finished with him in... I'll do it one more time. I said he couldn't get him... Now, you got to do it with me. You can't do it on your own. He couldn't get him to Zarephath until he finished with him in... Amen. One more time, and then you're going to have it perfect. I said he could not get him to Zarephath until he finished with him in Cherith. God wants to get you to Zarephath, but he can't get you to Zarephath because you're still stuck in Cherith at a dry brook. And you're in intercession and prayer for the brook to start up again. Hello? You're sitting there reasoning yourself, I wonder what's blocking up the water. I wonder what's happening. I wonder if there is some kind of obstacle upstream that is blocking the water flowing down to me again, because it's been pretty good. The ravens coming and feeding me, and the water has been flowing freely. I've been drinking from the brook, and everything's been right, and now the brook has dried up. I wonder what is there. I can tell you what is there. You spoke the word that set everything in motion. Hello? You're the one, Elijah, who spoke the word and said, there'll be no rain now. The word of the Lord is coming to pass in your life. I want you to know the moment that you said to Jesus Christ, look, here is my life. Take it. Control it. You are the Lord of my life. You are everything. I want you to take my family, my finances, everything that's there. And God took you at your word. The problem with many in the church today is they're so stuck in Cherith, they can't get to Zarephath for God to finish the work of refinement in their life. Are you still with me? So God wants to take you there, but to take you there, he's trying to finish some things here. Amen. Is everybody with me this morning? I said, God wants to take you there, but he can't take you there until he finishes some things in your life here. But I'm tired of here. Here is boring. Here is dead. Here, I'm tired of being here. I'm tired of being in the same place. I'm tired of my life. I'm tired of being unhappy. I'm tired of being depressed. I'm tired of being broke. I'm tired of being sick. I'm tired of one problem after the other. Then I have something to say to you today is this, is that you need to stand and declare, then God, what needs to be finished? What purpose are you trying to finish in my life, here in my life, so you can take me there? But God can't take you there until you finish with here. See, I want to get there. I mean, who doesn't want to prosper? Who doesn't want to move on with your life? How many want to move on with your life? Amen. How many want to move on with your life? Raise your hands. Amen. You got to exercise in this church. Come on. How many want to move on with your life? Well, I want you to understand is this, is just because you're tired doesn't mean that you're sick and tired. It just means that you're tired, that you have learned. Some of us have perfected the art of whining and complaining and negativity, but I want you to know that's not going to fulfill the purpose in your life. Here's something else that's not going to fulfill the purpose of your life. Quit playing the home movies of your yesterday. I'm just letting it set for a second. I said, quit playing the home movies of your yesterday. Cherith was such a nice place. I don't want to leave Cherith. Lord, I obeyed you. I did what you told me to do. I went and told the king. I've obeyed you. And now here, and I think maybe for a season, maybe Elijah thought, hey, God's rewarding me for my obedience here. This is all right. I can handle this prophet stuff. Go and tell them the truth, and then God takes you on a vacation. This is all right. I thought this was going to be a lot worse than what it was. And God says, no, you're just at the first step, Bubba. You're just at the first place. Because what I'm trying to teach you here, that I'm going to supernaturally sustain you. You don't realize that what is in front of you is that you're going to be standing on the top of Mount Carmel here in a matter of weeks. And you're going to begin to declare that God is God. You're going to bring Israel to a place of repentance, and you don't even know what's before you. But I've got to teach you to depend on me when you're by yourself and no one else is there. You're going to learn that I am supernaturally going to sustain you. I'm going to set a foundation that I'm God. How did he do it? Well, number one is he used a raven, an unclean beast. See, now if a donkey would have come through with a bag of, you know, Doritos and a Pepsi, amen, maybe a couple of tacos, maybe that's what Elijah's preference was. But God used a raven. You know what a raven is? That's the bird out there on the road eating the roadkill. Where do you think he was getting the meat? What, you think he was going down to the local, you know, Lowe's grocery store, going back and said, look, I got to feed the prophet for a while in the morning, evening. I would appreciate you pull out some of those, you know, tenderloins and give us a prime. Nothing's too good for the prophet. No, he was bringing him the meat of the animals that were dying from thirst, and he was picking it up. Are you listening to me? He was reminding Elijah. He was reminding him on a daily basis. Here's what you have to learn to do. That I'm going to speak to this raven. And this raven supernaturally is going to bring you. It's not his nature. Ravens are not creatures who share. They're not creatures who have a giving nature. They're scavengers. They are only out to look for themselves. But you see, God took the very nature of that raven and supernaturally made him bring bread and flesh in the morning and in the evening to sustain the prophet. He caused the water to flow in his life. But there was a point where Cherith had come. There was a point that God was done with Elijah at Cherith. And his here was no longer sufficient. God was ready to take him there. So in your season that you're in, if you're not careful and you do not discern, see, everybody, I hear people preaching all the time on how to get from A to Z. But very few are preaching on how to deal with B to Y. See, nobody is saying to us, here's how you deal with the season that you're in. Here's how you discern the season that you're in. And if you're in a Cherith season, it may be a time of rest. And if it's rest, then receive from God.
Quit trying to get up and work. Quit trying to get up and do something for yourself. Let God supernaturally sustain you. Because, darling, you're about ready to change. God is taking you to a place, into a new place of faith.
Well, I don't want to go to a new place of faith. I'm happy with Cherith.
I'm happy and satisfied with Cherith. So here we are. The waters stop. The raven has stopped coming. And here we are in the evening playing our old home movies. How do you remember the day? And there's Elijah waiting, drinking from the brook. Oh, that was such a great time. Such a refreshing time. Man, weren't those good old days? Man, those were wonderful days. Those were days of raven and water and him bringing me, you know, that fresh roadkill. And man, there I was cooking. I was happy. I was satisfied knowing that I had obeyed God and everything was wonderful. And here we are years later, continue to play how it used to be in the good old days. Those were happy days. Amen? Well, here, let me clue you in on something. You're not Fonzie. You're not Fonzie. And for some of you that are too young to understand, you'll have to ask somebody who's probably around 40 or 50 years old today. See, you're not Fonzie. God is trying to move you to someplace else. See, here is what it's all about, is trusting the relationship of God. Amen? How many hears what I'm saying to you? I'm going to read this scripture to you real quick. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes 3. And then I'm coming back to 1 Kings chapter 17. I want to read two scriptures. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. Then I'm going to jump real quick to Hebrews chapter 11. Are you with me? Everybody there, say amen. Ecclesiastes. Amen. Look what it says. To everything, everybody say everything. No, say everything. No, say everything. No, turn to somebody and say everything. Not some things. Everything. To everything, there is a season and a time. See, there is a season. There is not just one season in your life. To everything, there is a season. What does that mean? Well, there's a beginning. Everybody say, there's a beginning and there's an end. See, a season has a beginning and it has an end. You can't speed up the season, but you can prolong the season by staying too long in a place in your life or in a relationship of your life. See, that's why some of us, instead of, you know, I knew I shouldn't. I had a gut check about it, but I didn't. You know, I had a check about that person. Well, Jesus, what did they have to do to you? What do we have to go through before? I can tell you why. Because nobody has told us that we need to learn and discern the season that we're in. And when the season is up, we need to get out and we need to move on. But I can't leave them. I can't leave it. Then what I want you to understand is what is waiting there is death. And that's what happens when we don't move out of the season that we're in. Now listen, that's not to you married folks here saying, yeah, you know what? You're exactly right. I'm about ready to get out of the season, brother. No, let me clue you in on something. When you go from Cherith to Zarephath, amen, you're going to have somebody tagging along with you. Say, maybe the reason that you're in the season that you're in right now, and the reason why you can't get past what you're in, why you cannot get past your pettiness, why you cannot get past the arguing and the fussing, why you cannot get past the depression and the anger, is because you've not learned the purpose of why God has you in this season. See, what we fail to understand is that God is conscious of where we're at. God knows exactly where you're at, and God is going to deal with you right where you're at. It's not your responsibility. See, God did not give us. God only knows that we think it sometimes. See, I told Karen for years, God sent me into your life so you could be better. And she said, I just didn't know it was going to be such a hell. I didn't know I was going to have to walk through hell to get to heaven. Are you hearing me? But some of us have put down roots in the hellishness of our life, and now we think that's what our life is. But I want you to know that's not your destiny. Honey, you may be walking through hell, but hell's not your point of destination. It's only something that God is trying to get you to wake up and to understand in your life. Amen. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And if God is trying to correct something in my life, then God, let me be open enough. Let me be sensitive enough. Let me know, Father, that there's got to be something in my life that needs to be corrected. Amen? I mean, if every time you put the nail up there, I mean, we got some contractors here in the church. You know how you learn to hit the nail right? You learn to hit the nail right because you've hit it wrong a few times. Maybe a lot of times. Are you hearing me? And all you have to do, because there is no pain, like taking the end of a solid steel hammer. Because you're not going tap, tap, tap. If you're trying to drive that six-penny nail into that wood, you are rearing back. Amen? How many hears it? But how you learn to do it, and you don't grab it up by the neck, you grab it down by the base of it, because that's where all the force is, because you're going to wear yourself out trying to tap, tap, tap. You've got to be able to hit that thing once or twice and drive it in there. But it's those times to wear that you've done it. How many contractors are saying, thank God for automatic nailers? But see, even that don't work. Because we were putting a roof on one time, and I had a friend of mine. This is a really cute story. And so we were about 20 feet up in the air, and we were laying the plywood on the roof. Amen? And this guy was a stud. I mean, his name was Rob Martin. I mean, he was a stud. This guy was one of the strongest people that I'd ever known. And he could work all day and not get tired. So I was handing up the wood to him, and he was right on the edge. But he got distracted because he was trying to get the corner flush and get it down. So he tucked his boot, and he laid it right on the edge of that corner. And he thought, listen to me, he thought, I'm good. He was cocky. He thought he was good. So he went because he couldn't see where he was going. And when he nailed that thing, no, he didn't drive it through his toe. You know what he did? He drove it to his boot. And there he was, stuck on the edge of that roof. And he couldn't get down, and he couldn't get up. Are you hearing me? See, I want you to know that we learn through life. We learn through the mistakes that we make. We learn through the things that were there. But if we continually say, there ain't nothing wrong, it's you, it ain't me. It ain't me. What do you blame me for? I don't have an issue. I don't have an attitude. Ain't nothing wrong with me. I love you. I'll give you money, darling. What do you mean I don't say I love you all the time? I said I love you the first time. Isn't that good enough? How many times am I going to say it? I want you to stop and I want you to listen to me. He giveth grace to the humble. See, you're not going to get off that roof. Because, see, I couldn't get up to him. He was stuck in a very awkward place. and we and all the other ladders were being taken. They had scaffolding on them. He was stuck on the end of that roof. And I want you to know, that's where some of you are this morning. You're stuck on the end of that roof, and you can't go down, and you can't go up. And guess what? God's got you right where He wants you. Because in that position, honey, you can't do nothing where He could untie. No, He couldn't, because He was leaning forward. And if He moved one way or another, He was going to go off, and His foot would have come out of His boot. He was stuck. And some of you, just like Grayson says all the time, when he can't get things out, stuck. It's stuck, Mama. It's stuck. And some of you are stuck. God says to Elijah here, see, Elijah was smart enough to realize, meat gone, water gone, me gone. Come on, say it with me. Meat gone, water gone, me gone. Amen? No, not some of us. We're looking for berries. We're looking for nuts. We're looking for, you know, those wild onions out there. Because you never know. God may come back here and visit with me again. Because I remember the good old days, and I just think that God would want to take a... If God wanted chairs to be it, He would have said, hey, look, man, chair fit. But here you stand stuck like Chuck on the roof, and you can't go down, and you can't go up. And this is something Brian would do. When I saw it, I was like, saw him, Brian, on the edge of that roof. Amen? Winnie! Are you hearing me today? The meat's gone. The water's gone. We're gone. When are you going to leave it so God can finish with your life? He can't finish with you until you leave here. Come on, say it. Until I leave here, I can't get there. See, you can't leave here until you make a choice to leave here to go there. Now, Hebrews chapter 11. Remember, Ecclesiastes said there's a time and a season. What does it say? There is a time and a season for everything. There is an opportune time to do things and a right time for everything on the earth. Amen? There's a right time for birth and another time for death. There's a right time to plant, another time to reap. But see, if you're trying to reap when you should be planting, well, now you know why you'd be frustrated. Because you keep complaining, man, there ain't no harvest. There ain't no harvest because you aren't finished what? Planting. Because after you plant, you have to do what? You got to wait. You have to wait. Because the water is going to have to come supernaturally anyways. But you're going to have to wait. And so the reason why some of us are frustrated and there's no harvest is because it's not time for harvest. You say, well, my father, pastor, how long does it have to? Well, I want you to know of a woman. I know she's obscure in the Bible. Her name is Sarah. And they kept planting, but there was no harvest in their life. And she waited for 24 years. And God brought forth on the 25th year of her life, she brought forth a son as God had said it. Why? Because there is a time and a season for everything. And when God gives a promise to your life, and He gives a seed of that promise to your life, you need to realize that whatever time it takes to bring the fulfillment and the fullness in your life, that is what God is going to do. But you're going to have to wait for the fulfillment. Now turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. I know you know it, but I just want you to turn there. Now faith. Amen? Everybody say now faith. Now faith. Now faith. Everybody say it. Now faith is the substance. It's the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. I want you to turn to somebody and say, faith is about the things for the things that are not seen. See, that is where our issue is. Our issue is not for the things we do see. It's the things that we... Because when I'm here, I can see my here. Amen? Yeah, there ain't no meat. There ain't no water. But at least I'm here. Here's all right. It's not perfect. Amen? How many hears it? See, I can tell you right now that every one of you have sat here, every one of you, if I gave you a piece of paper, and I'm talking about people who are 40 and above, I could give you a piece of paper. Some of you haven't realized it because you're too young to realize it, but I could give you a piece of paper, and I can guarantee you the majority of you would say, I gave up a dream. I gave up a goal. I gave up a life. I gave up a career simply because I made a wrong choice in my life. And I've always looked back wondering, what if, how it would have been, if things would have been different, if I would have made a different choice. How many can say amen? Amen? Well, Pastor, how do I deal with it? Everybody ready? If you're taking notes, here's the first thing you're going to do. Are you ready? I don't see no paper. I don't see no pencil. So I didn't know. Here it is. It's a big word. Leave. Here. Now. Go. To there. Quit living in your past. It is the one thing in my spirit since I have been here 5 years ago. It is the one thing that I've dealt with over and over again, is that people will not release the past so they can go on. The reason why maybe you cannot move through the relationship you're in is because you cannot get past the mistakes that were made in the beginning. They were already made. Honey, you can only repent for so long. You can only say, I'm sorry for so long. You can only say, I won't do it for so long. And there's got to be a point where you say, I'm done apologizing. I'm done asking for forgiveness. I'm done here. I'm ready to move on with my life. And honey, begin to walk into your new life. If those people have been meant to be a part of your life, they'll follow you into it. And the reason why some can't go with you is because they never were meant to go with you. They can't because they can't see what you see. Are you listening to me? Amen? Man, this is good preaching. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The key point here is what? It deals with the unseen. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. If you're in a place that God doesn't want you in, and you are staying someplace, and you're living in an attitude, folks, I'm not even talking about necessarily a geographical or even relationship. Sometimes the reason why we can't move past our relationship is because we haven't moved past. We are waiting for somebody else to change. If you'll change, I'll change. We're trying to negotiate a new contract when we are saying, if you change, I'll change. And the reason I don't change is because you don't change. Well, here, let me clue you in on something. You're going to spend the next 20 of your years of your life, amen, when you're celebrating your 60th anniversary, and you're going to look at each other and say, well, when are you going to change? Well, I think at this point, it really don't matter no more. Amen. Just, you know, wheel yourself around with each other and bump each other, you know, with your wheelchair, you know, whatever you're... Are you hearing me? You don't want to wait And folks, I'm not just talking about marriage. I'm talking about anything. If you want to move past your here, you're going to have to make a choice. Amen? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. In life of a believer, faith is not optional. We need faith to believe that God exists and to believe that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. And we are reminded again of Ecclesiastes 3 and 1. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. The reason why that I can't get past this is because I'm out of the season that God has for my life. And because I'm out of the season, there's no faith for this season. God only feeds you enough for the season that He's ordained for your life. And if you're out of the season, maybe that's the reason you feel empty and void. See, God is not obligated to feed you outside of what He has commanded you to do. Amen? Go back with me to 1 Kings. Are you still with me? Am I out of time already? What time is it anyways? That's right, Jim. What time is it? Oh, Jesus, it's too early. Amen? Look at here, 1 Kings. First Kings 17. I didn't put anything in that I can. I'm trying to find. First Kings, anybody know? First Kings. Chapter 17. I just tried to wake a few of you up. Look. So he says to him in verse 9, arise. Look at here. Just what I told you. Arise and get thee going. Isn't that what it says? Get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have what? Commanded a widow woman there. See, he had to get to the widow woman to get there. But he could never get there until he left here. You're never going to get there until you leave your present circumstance, your present attitude. See, you cannot have faith for what you need because you have... See, there's an expiration date on faith. See, there's an expiration date on faith because faith is only now. So when you open up that milk carton of faith, it says, drink for the season that you're in for now. Because if you wait, if you wait too long, the milk is going to be spoiled. And then you're going to look at the carton like, how in the world did this spoil? I just bought this. I was just here. I don't know how this could happen. Because your season is over with. See, most cannot discern the season they're in, so they keep living in the season that they are familiar with. If you're taking notes, the reason it's called faith is because it's never familiar at the first. See, you've never been there. You haven't been to Zarephath. But see, God has a miracle for you. God's taught you at Cherith. Now He's trying to take you into Zarephath. Why? Because there is a widow woman there to sustain you. So He arose and He went to Zarephath. And guess what happened? And when He came to Zarephath, when he came to the gate of the city, what? Behold, the widow woman was... Does anybody see a common thread here? The widow woman was where? Where was God trying to get Elijah? There. Where's God trying to get you? And the reason why He can't get you there is because some of you are stuck in here. See, the New Testament says, you need to go there and tell them. But as long as you are here, amen, you're never going to go there. See, I want you to understand something. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a command. It's not a suggestion. Jesus never said, look, if you have the time and the money, if it's convenient for you, and you somehow can place your family, you know, in a second pier right there, just for a season, I'll try not to keep you there for too long. I'll try not to keep you there for too long. But if you could you consider going and telling some other folks about me and what I did for your life? I mean, the last time I read Matthew, it didn't phrase that way. He said, here is the command. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, Pastor, I can't. I have a job. There's people on the job. Well, I'm a housewife. There's people around your house. And guess what God's given us? God's given us one of the greatest tools. If you quit using it to promote your political stance, amen? Amen? Set a few doggy pictures aside. Amen. A couple of cats not playing and doing stupid stuff. Amen. I'll try not to post any more pictures of Grayson for a while. And how about we use the social media to be able to witness for Jesus Christ? Let me tell you something. The devil didn't create this. I remember when Rex Humbard came out on television. And I remember my parents saying, beginning. The world's coming to an end. The church is falling into apostasy. Look at him. He's on that devil box. That one-eyed monster. How does he think God is going to honor him on television? Are you hearing me? People condemned Rex and Maud. They condemned them for years that they were compromisers and that God would not bless them. And I want you to know there were hundreds of thousands of 10,000s of people that were saved and born again. Multiple hundreds of churches were started because of that television program. And I want you to know today is that that's not even a thought in our mind. But we got people saying, well, I don't go on Facebook because it's of the devil. I don't go on there because, you know, there's just a lot of junk on there. Well, they have an app on here, and part of the app is a little arrow. Amen? And I go through my feed all the time. So if some of you don't see some of your posts there, it's because I hit it. They should have a post not of just, you know, they ask you, you know, why did you hide this post? Why didn't you like it? There's nothing in there that says it's dumb. It doesn't promote Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me? Look, we have an opportunity to share Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me? But the reason why we can't get there is because we're still stuck in here. I got to finish. I have got to finish. I know, honey. I'm trying my best. Look. And behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. She had no problem with that, did she? And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake. Are you hearing me? She said, what? I don't have a cake. And he said, look how he responds to her. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks and I may go. That was not a big cake. I mean, that's not a big cake. That's one of those little mini things, like, you know, silver dollar jobbies. And she said, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and that we may die. See, she was at the point where we know that God spoke to her and said, I'm sending you an answer. I'm sending you a supernatural answer. I'm sending a prophet to you, and that prophet is going to bring you a miracle. And what I want you to do is sustain him. I'm sure when she got that word, maybe when she got the word, she had plenty of meal and said, hey, he's probably going to show up and I'm going to share it with you. But when does God bring the prophet? When all she has is a little bit of meal and oil left. Just like Cherith, the well dried up. But because of God's divine timing, look at here. This is worth you guys waiting just a little bit. Because of God's divine timing, look at it here. A little oil on cruise. Behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and we can die. And Elijah said, listen to what he said. Fear not. He realized she was in fear. And he said, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me therefore a little cake. Now look at the statement of faith. Look at him declare the prophetic word. He said, but when you get there, I know it doesn't say it this way. He said, but when you get there, guess what? When you make that first cake, guess what? What's going to happen is there's going to be enough to make a second cake. There's going to be enough for you, and God's going to show you that supernaturally He is going to sustain you. But you see, she was here. She was in the place of despair, and she was in the place of saying, I can't go any further. Man, I'm done. I'm going to die right here. And the prophet came along and said, no, you're not. Because I'm going to use you to raise you up as a supernatural testimony. Do you understand? Everybody else around her was running out of food. And look what the man of God says to her here. He says, make it for me and for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. It is here, a year's worth, that God supernaturally, every time she went to the meal bar, there was meal. Every time she went to the cruse of oil, there was oil. But you know what? She couldn't get there until she was willing to give up her here. And until we're willing to give up our here, until we realize the season was over with that she was walking in, she had walked to the end of something. Do you understand? See, we can have enough discernment to know when we have walked to the end of something. It's then when we try to get creative so that we can and extend it out, that we can move it out a little bit further. But I'm here to tell you, don't try to extend it out. Finish it. Let it go. And let God take you to the next place that's in your life. Amen? Are you hearing it today? Two mistakes we make in our walk of faith. We try to jump ahead to the next season before it's time. And the second, we stay in the place in a row even after the season has passed. Amen? Four keys of life-daring faith. Be thankful for the season that you're in. Number two, tune your ears to the voice of God and be willing to move when God speaks. You can't do that if you don't have a prayer life. I keep extending this to you over and over again. You have got to have a prayer life to be able to hear the voice of God. You can't blame the past. You can't blame past preachers. You can't blame past churches. You have to have a prayer life. Amen? Number three, understand some reasons require sacrifice. When you are going through a tough season, there are going to be some sacrifices in your life, but that does not mean that God has forsaken you. It means that you're not through the season in your life. Amen? And number four, are you ready for this one? Be flexible. Why is that, Pastor? Because rigid things break. And the more rigid you are, the more rigid that you are, the harder it is for change. You're going to have to be flexible if you want to change. Elijah could have stayed in Cherith, but he became flexible and he moved on to Zarephath. The story doesn't end here. It's a long process that God took Elijah through. But God took him through and brought him through. And out of it, God brought him through so that he would be a blessing to this woman. This woman stands out in the Bible as a supernatural individual, that God raised her up as a supernatural testimony. From this place, God gives her a son. The son that she has, amen, to feed and to let him live, moves to the story that the son dies. Amen? In every process, God is trying to increase your ability to learn and to receive. But if you don't learn where you're at, you can't move to the next place that God's trying to take you. Where is God trying to take you this morning? What is God trying to say to you? Amen. See, quit saying things aren't working out. Quit saying that I've got to change this, I've got to change that. Maybe it's not change you need. Maybe you need to resolve yourself to wait, to stand still, to see the salvation of God. Amen. How many times have you moved out of that season, rushed ahead, and missed the purpose of God? Come on, how many would say, Pastor, I don't want to miss this season. I don't want to miss this next season that God's trying to bring me through. Can you stand to your feet? I'm going to do two things today. And we've never done it this way before.